We're talking with Dr. Kim Anderson from Oklahoma State University. Kim, as we get into this week, we've had some numbers that we're able to kind of chew on now for a little while from Friday, from the crop production numbers, the supply-demand numbers. We saw the market kind of seemingly liked those numbers pretty well. Particularly the corn and the bean numbers seemed to be pretty well received by the trade. What really stuck out in your mind as you looked at both supply demand and the crop production numbers?
Well, probably the first thing that stuck out was the closeness of the USDA's WASD report to the trade numbers or the pre-release estimates. The surprise or the jump out of you is the less than 1.9 billion bushel ending stocks for corn when the trade was expecting it to be, above the 1.9, closer to the 2.0. And the reason that the corn ending stocks were lower is because the USDA's raised their export projections by 175 million bushels. I think that's what we're going to have to watch and see if that happens. Looking at the market reaction, you got a 30-plus cent increase in soybean prices. You got a 20-plus increase in corn prices. But reading the trade's response to the report, especially with corn, I think the trade thinking is right now that the corn price increase may be short-lived, that we haven't seen the bottom in corn prices yet, that in the near future, corn prices will probably come back down to lower than their level before the report. That's probably what popped out in my mind right now.
I noticed that, one thing I think that caught some folks a little bit by surprise, the lowering of the acres that they came up with, particularly on the corn numbers.
Yeah, before the Wall Street report was released last Friday, the problem was the trade anticipated that because of they had the insurance acres numbers for the first time in the projections, that they would lower corn acres. They didn't know how much they would lower it, and they would raise the bushels. They hit the bushels relatively close, the bushels per acre production. But the USDA lowered the planted and harvested acres more than anticipated by the trade. And I think that's why we got a little jump in prices. We're just going to see how long it'll last.
Of course, no matter how you cut it, it's a record corn crop.
We've got lots of corn in the United States. You go back 20 years. I know a market analyst told me in my younger years that it took 2 years to rebuild corn stocks and 1 year to rebuild wheat stocks. I think in today's environment, it is reversed. I think it's going to take 2 years or more to build the wheat stocks. But corn stocks in both the United States and the world is being rebuilt and surpassed in 1 year.
What ramifications are there or implications for our wheat producers as they look at how prices are going to, play out into the spring as we head toward, crossing that line from old crop to new crop for our wheat crop with this large corn crop? In other words, with that kind of holding down corn prices.
Well, my estimate last year was that the tight corn stocks added anywhere from 75 cents to a dollar to the wheat price. The numbers that have been falling out recently indicate that was probably around 80 to 85 cents. That's 80 to 85 cents on the wheat price that we're not going to have next harvest in June of 2014. I do think that this report on wheat sets the stage for significantly higher wheat prices in 2014. Because we've got well below average ending stocks projected in the United States. We got slightly below average ending stocks projected in the world. If something happens that we have a below average U.S. and our world production of wheat, that wheat price is going to increase dramatically. Now, if we have above average production, our prices are going to stay, at current levels are slightly less. Probably right now I'm predicting around 6 to 6.25 for the June 2014 wheat price in Oklahoma. And I'm betting on a big crop. But if we don't have a big crop with tight stocks, especially very tight hard red winter wheat stocks, that price could increase dramatically next year. The stage is set. We're just going to have to see what production is.
I know that you've worked with budgets and you've watched these guys that have tried to bring into this new rotation now, Winter Canola. We're at a meeting today, you know, kind of celebrating the fact that we've got really this industry well on its way to being a true rotation between winter wheat, winter canola, and a lot of locations of Oklahoma and Kansas and Texas too. What's the ramification for our income, you think, for our producers as a result of this?
I think the opportunity is here now for a rotation crop with wheat. We've needed it for a long time. We've needed to break that disease cycle. We needed to break that weed cycle. We need, and what we've seen over the last 2 years in wheat, we've seen a well above average basis that gives us a higher price than we would have had otherwise because we had a good protein, high quality product to sell on the world market. If we don't clean up the wheat in Oklahoma, if we don't have good protein, if we don't have milling quality wheat, we're not going to be able to sell our wheat like we couldn't back in 2009 and 2010. So with canola, we've got the opportunity to rotate our crops, to clean up our fields. It's going to increase our wheat yields. It's going to increase the quality of our wheat, and it's going to give us more marketing opportunities.
And really, canola, the way it's priced right now, it's a pretty valuable crop.
If you pencil it out, your canola will give you a slightly better profit per acre than wheat. That price situation could change, but you can forward contract right now canola for about $9.75 for June delivery. You can forward contract wheat for June delivery somewhere around $6.75 a bushel. It costs a little more to produce the canola, but you get more for it. Plus, you're going to get higher yields and better production for your wheat in the future, which is going to make that wheat more competitive with canola.